Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy live edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of Kings himself, the man who has risen from the dead. No, that's this Sunday coming up, I think, or Good Friday. I don't know. I get my holidays all mixed up here. Oh, well, I am the Hot Rod. And yes, Sean Black, this is blasphemy indeed. And on the phone line, I have the man who tries speaking 1,000 Mexicans into this country of ours every morning. He tried to be like a Harry Truman, I guess. What?
Good Lord. Sean Black in the building. Good grief. I can tell that you have not had your Monday evening drink, so I know you've lost your mind.
Oh, no. While you're running with your mouth for the next 20 minutes, trust me, I am going to pour myself a drink. But this is my spring break.
Good grief.
Yes. And ladies and
gentlemen,
I think
that's everybody's spring break.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I got to spend a spring break with my family. You know, I cannot be down in Miami trying to catch the COVID or having a life or being, you know, the life of the party, but whatever. The good old times. But you know the number, guys.
I think I remember those kinds of things. This is when, like, other people would gather around, like, with music and dance and have fun. Yeah. That's what a party is, right?
Yes. Some people still do to this day. And with some do it with caution, while others, yes, you know what? Just live your life for the moment, because tomorrow is not promised. Especially in Sean's case when he was there, go out and party. The next party after that will be 6 feet under or in the ICU.
I have no comments for that one.
Okay. Well, guys, you know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Let's get right into it. As I was joking about earlier, but it's not really a joke. It is a serious problem. And I know, and I sent Sean Black earlier messages of both what the left wing and the right wing think about this, how border control is going out of control. But before we get into that completely, this is a two-part question, Sean Black. What do you think of Joe Biden press conference last week, where he talked about all the problems that's going on, including the immigration, all the people that come from Mexico, Latin America, especially average 4,000 kids a day being left at the border of Texas trying to come to this country. And do you think so far, I know it's a lot going on, I know it's too early to tell, but do you think the Biden administration is trying? Maybe they're not doing it right, but is trying their best to control the situation?
Before you answer that, I'm going to make my drink now.
Go ahead.
Oh, of course. I've looked at this as objectively as I possibly can, looking at what happened with the previous administration and how it was dealt with, which was an abomination with all of the amount of children being separated from their parents, people coming over. And there were, I believe, the highest amount in 1 month under the previous administration was well over 11,000 children who were arrested at the border for trying to cross over. And I've got news for a lot of people. This past February, the Biden administration has come close. Literally over 9,000, almost 9,300 were arrested at the border. And that was just in 1 month in February. And the second month, or really the first full month under the Biden administration. So to answer that question, Biden really has not done that much better than Trump when it comes to this migrant situation that we've seen going. Maybe he's been a little more humane maybe. But other than that, he is getting, he's going to get the same wrath that that deserves to be done. Now, at the same time, he just got into office within the last 2 months. So now we have to figure out what's going on through this situation. But to really be fair, I don't see too much of a difference between the previous administration's handling and this administration's handling. There was a facility in Florida that holds migrant children, I believe in Homestead, that was closed down. And I remember the Vice President, Kamala Harris, had said something about that this is one of those places that needed to be closed down because of how inhumane the migrant children are. I remember we saw a lot of videos and pictures of the migrant children sleeping in literally on the floor in what looked like aluminum foil blankets in boxes or what looked like rooms made out of plastic.
Horrible conditions.
Horrible conditions. I've looked at the news, and within the last few weeks, I don't see too much of a difference. I have seen some of the migrant children with bunk beds, and some of them have their, I guess, cell phones or whatever to kind of pass the time. The other thing that I'm noticing is if you are going to have a migrant situation where you're going to try and make sure that the parents get sent back, but the kids are going to be allowed to go across, that's what they're going to do. This is the reason why we're seeing so many more children going across without their parents. It's ridiculous.
Isn't that a problem? It's like, why are you,
that's a huge problem.
Why are you sucking the kids and not the parents? And that fact, why are you send anybody back? And this will make the Biden administration look more worse than the Trump administration. Well, the Trump administration did put them into cages, and we was more outraged about that than the situation itself. But go ahead.
Yeah. I think what we need to do right now, we have to see giving it at least another month to see where we're at. We're right now at the end of March, going into April. I figure for my own edification, I think by the end of April, if some of these things don't start to look like there is some kind of plan, some sort of way, then you're going to start to hear a ton of people jumping all over the Biden administration fairly because of the handling of this. Now, on top of that part, here's where the unconscionable part starts. When you start to see the Republican Party jumping up and down about how unjust the Biden administration is and it's inhumane, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I remember seeing Senator Ted Cruz, who went down to the border with a bunch of other Republican senators to try to decry what this administration has been, quote-unquote, doing. Where was all of this when the previous administration was doing the exact same things? Back then, if I remember a press conference saying with Ted Cruz saying that we're treating the migrants in great facilities and they're being treated well, they're being treated like the human beings that they are. No, they're not. They're being treated the same for the most part. So where is all of this posturing back and forth coming from? It's all political, as we always say.
Well, yeah, but remember last week when I showed you the pictures of a few friends of mine on social media, how they were posting pictures of those things, and you're like, wait a minute. Trump did the same exact thing, and they didn't criticize that. They have no problem with what Trump did. But
for one group to say that what they've done is so good and just, and then to damn the other party for the complete opposite, when all you're doing is flipping Republican with Democrat and the same thing is happening, is disingenuous. So at some point, these parties are going to have to sit down and come up with some kind of resolution. I don't know what the resolution is. I don't know what the solution can be. But without taking the emotion and the common sense part of the discussion and making this some sort of a bipartisan discussion, which I know that is probably never going to happen. We're going to have literally the same thing that we've been talking about from the previous administration. And it's not like just the previous administration did it. This happened under Obama. This happened under Bush. These things have happened for years and years and years, and I don't think it's really ever going to change.
It's never going to change, but we all agree there needs to be some type of control overall, some type of control at the board. Just understand, from Latin America, people want a better life for themselves and for their kids, and they hear the stories all the time how America is a land of the free, the land of the brave, the land of opportunity. And you know, we have, I'm just saying in general, Mexicans that come here who work hard, do anything. Like, you know, you see them in front of lumber shops, begging for work, asking you for work. You know, and let's be, like you told me before, we have so much pride. We never work the same jobs as the Mexican, as the Latin American people. We never clean bathroom or do whatever. But these people that come here, they want to make the sacrifice for the better life or to send money back home. Am I doing the immigrants? We say that all the time. Of course we do. Sean, you, myself, Lady T, Brother B, all of us came from immigrant families in one way or another. But at the same time, where do we stop the buck? Do we send these kids back out with no remorse? Or do we find a common ground solution? Or if we do, what is the common ground? Maybe Lady T will have an answer for that. What is the common ground solution about controlling the border?
Hey, you guys. First of all, with the whole thing with the border, whatever the issue is that, you know, America has with Mexicans specifically, I'm not sure why we think that they're going to have better conditions for them. When people don't want to deal with certain people, they don't deal with certain people. They treat them a certain way. So people need to, like, really wake up and see that they don't want the Mexicans in the country. Is it the Mexicans, right?
Yes.
Because there's always been other immigrants. You have West Indians that came here, Chinese, this, that, the other. We can go on with the whole list. I want to know what's the specifics, though, with the Mexicans. You understand what I'm saying? So maybe when we can get to that factor specifically, is it because they're taking away the jobs? Like, what is it? Then we can come to understand why they have them in these conditions and they don't care. Both administration, Democrats and Republicans, don't really care for it. Don't care to clean that up. Don't care to do something with it. I don't know what's going on with that still, because I still don't understand specifically what is it with the Mexicans? What is it?
So to your point, AT, why is this a problem in the first place? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because this country was based off of immigrants. This country was based off of slavery. But specifically, what is going on with this, with the Mexicans? That's what I want to know.
I don't have an answer for that. Do you, Sean Black?
I think it has everything to do with the fear, where a lot of the stuff is that the fear that, especially with Mexicans coming in, that Mexicans are going to get those jobs that Americans here can get, they feel they are too good for, and those jobs are beneath them. Mexicans coming from Mexico to do the jobs that they need because they're trying to get better life for themselves, make money, send it back home, maybe to bring family members over to help them out, and that fear that they are going to become successful in the United States, that I think is one of the biggest fears that they have.
Yeah, but to what you just said, Sean Black, West Indians did that already. Asian Americans already did that. So to say that is to say what? Yeah. We're not in fear of jobs. I think it's something deeper, and it's nothing that I feel like even discussing on air, but it goes deeper than that. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure it does.
It's way deeper. It's not just jobs, because they've been in fear that the black man would take their jobs. Asians are great with when it comes to technology and stuff like that. They've taken those jobs. So let's it's a little bit deeper than that.
Is the way the Asian Americans are way more advanced than us. They're smarter than
us. In mathematics and stuff like that. Come on, you guys remember? I think Brooklyn Tech is probably still open. And back in our days, we had to take a test for that. I mean, I couldn't even score that high for the test. I took the test, got close to it, but not close enough to get into the school. What's interesting, my dad, who is black and of West Indian descent, actually went to Brooklyn Tech. And this was back in the day when it was like maybe one or two black people in Brooklyn Tech. And he qualified for it. He can draw out drafts, build, you know, sketch out house drafts and stuff like that, whatever you would call it. I'm saying the wrong word, but y'all know what I'm talking about. So it's like,
but
he was excellent in that. So it's like, what is the fear, though?
But isn't one of the problems with Latin America that when they come here and they, quote, unquote, take our job because of cheap labor or whatever, isn't another problem is they don't learn English? And almost everything in this country is Spanish, like you... One for English, two for Spanish.
If we want to be, yes. If we want to be technical, whose country was this really? Did America conquer this? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are they afraid of the Mexicans conquering what though? When other ethnicities already did that. So talk to me. I want to know what's the real issue with Mexico.
I think when we talk about a lot of the fear that a lot of people have in this country of the quote unquote others, whether Mexican or whatever other countries that people are immigrating from to make a life for themselves in America, I just think overall the general fear is that the ruling class that have been here are afraid of losing that power that they've had. Where we've talked about this on the show before, where we talked about races of people or a specific section of people that live in the United States, they are able to take care of their own communities, whether it is jobs, whether it's technology, any of those kinds of things to help better their communities. What we've seen is that when we talk about how the power structure that has currently been here, what they've tried to do is try to consolidate that power as much as they can and keep everybody else out. Now, specifically when we're talking about when we see Mexicans that are coming over and trying to make a life for themselves, as we saw with the previous administration trying to put up walls which never fully got accomplished, they just wasted money. The racial slant in that was so strong and palpable from the beginning of the administration and now going in is just more of an acceleration of the racial animus that a lot of white people have already had, the ones that were in power that were trying to keep Mexicans and Asian Americans and black people down. What it is specifically about Mexico, I'm not sure. But a lot of it is based on a lot of fear that a lot of the, not just jobs, but just a lot of the things that they are normally comfortable with would start to lessen. Because as we talked about before from the census, we know that quote-unquote pure white males are starting to now become almost a minority because we've had so many interracial relationships and children, and that is not as strong as it once was.
All right, census stats. I don't calculate that as real data to me, but whoever believes in census can believe in it. As far as white males becoming the minority, white people will never in their life become the minority. So I don't even want to hear that talk. That no.
I
don't believe in that.
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go to K-Dog. Go ahead, caller.
I don't know. You're going to hit me with the hold on. I was trying to come in hard with it. What's up, y'all?
But, Come on in hard with it. Come on in. Come on in.
Come on. No, you're good, bro. But no, y'all know I rock with y'all, so ain't no problem. But no, what he's talking about is something that's going to really appear. Like by 2050, they're going to be a minority as far as compared to, you know, the Latin group that's going to be here. And that's encompassing all of them, not just Mexicans. You're talking about Colombians, El Salvadorians, any little group that fits that category, that's who you're talking about. They're going to be the majority. Now, getting back to what y'all are talking about, the hard part is you got to understand there's a really old population in America. The baby boomer generation, which is the majority of Americans right now, that's the majority of white people, they have a really low birth rate. And if you have a low replacement rate, you actually have to bring in immigrants. That's the part that you'll never hear them say on the news or anything like that. How do you replace your aging, older generation? And also, how do you replace those people with people silly enough to fall for the American dream and think, well, if you work down at the bottom, eventually you get to the top? No, you have to bring in immigrants because you can sell them stuff like that. People who've been here a few generations like, nah, bro, I'm going for the top spot, or I'm going to start my own, I'm going to do whatever. But I ain't believing in that make-a-wish American dream stuff you're selling me. But you can sell that to a first-generation group of people, and then their kids will probably know better and not want to roll with it. But that's the difficulty that America is trying to figure out. Now, how do you do that in a country that is really racist, really jingoistic, really have problems with other demographics? Well, that's the tough part. This is what happens to every group that's come over in America. When the immigrant group gets here, everybody's ready to put a boot to them. So that's going to be a part of it, too. And remember, man, the ones to really blame are the people who hire them. If you really have a problem with immigration, then you would find a business for hiring them and take their license in a state to operate if they do it. Now, since that doesn't happen, and the only people who get punished are the ones running in, you can see that this is a con move. So say nothing but a con.
Yes.
Good point.
But to argue your point. Good point. No, I agree 100%. But to argue your point, that you're the game dog, that's the problem. I'm giving my business to a cheaper labor that will do the better job. Is that supporting American or is that supporting immigration overall?
Well, we're making that decision every day of our lives. In the 90s, we all went to Walmart instead of going to other places. Walmart got too big. Other places ended up closing shop, and Walmart became Monopoly. And then what happens? Amazon comes behind Walmart and is kicking Walmart and everybody else's ass now. So the cheaper prices of Amazon, guess what? We're going to pay for that later in the form of lower wages, certain industries being shut out because Amazon is too big. And they're just going to swallow them. So, you know, all of that stuff, man, it kind of plays on itself.
All right. And K-Dog, take it away. Then to the next topic.
Hey, good evening, everybody. What's up? This whole thing with the whole immigration, and like you said, about the whole thing about cheap labor, there's no question about that. And do I believe that white people will be the minority? That's their biggest fear. That's the white's biggest fear, is that they're going to become the minority. And that's their fear, because here you have it. You have immigrants coming here, like people from Mexico, south of the border, and also with the growth of more interracial marriages. That's their fear, and they're scared of that. They're doing everything in their power to prevent that from happening, from them becoming the minority. And if you look at it, if you look at this, the way the country was built, this country was built on immigration. Illegal immigration. I mean, you have a group of people that were living here, and then all of a sudden people come in and invade and take over the land and killing all these people, and then after dragging other people here in chains and forcing them as cheap labor. If you understand what I'm saying.
So are you blaming the white man again? Are you blaming the white man?
I'm just stating facts. This is the reality of
it. So you're blaming the white man again? You're saying that
I'm not blaming the white man. I am not, listen, these are facts. These are, man, Hot Rod, shut up, man. Anyway, like I was saying, this is reality. This is the reality, you know. We have to face it.
It's okay.
Damn,
okay,
man.
No problem. All right.
I blame K-Dog. Get out of here. But San Cato is where ICE is taking these people from San Cato in there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, talk about white people. Talk about blaming on the white man. Today was the first trial of, what's that guy name again, Sean Black? Because you know how I am.
Derek Chauvin.
Yes. Today was a trial of this guy, the cop who killed George Floyd. All right, let's get right into it. Overall, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the trial of the year. Like I told Sean Black, do not be surprised by the results. I'm not guilty. Why? Because we've seen this done many times. Now, if this becomes a non-guilty verdict, should the city and do you see this country burning down again, worse than Rodney King and Ferguson? Lady T, I give this to you first.
Oh, man, I want to pass on it. Send it to Sean Black first with knowledge on it first.
Oh, my goodness.
I have not been following the story, to be honest
Lady
with
T,
you.
Lady T, they threw the ball in your court. They want you to say something.
Oh, man.
Lady T, I know you got that itch. You got that itch. That's what I give to you first. But fine.
Come on out with it.
Sean Black, take it away, then. Give it to Lady T.
Oh, man.
Okay. Based on what we already know, and based on how we've seen the pattern go, if anything other than a conviction, anything other than a slap on the wrist, anything other than what most people are quote-unquote expecting, there are going to be, and I don't wish this, but I have a feeling what would happen, it would be nationwide chaos. Because in every example of egregious police violence in killing anybody, black man, black woman, Hispanic person, Asian person, whoever it is, if there's video, usually we don't see any kind of vindication. Since I believe 2005, I think it is, since 2005, there have only been 139 officers arrested, and out of that, 44 convictions. 96 out of those were non-federal officers, so people that were not FBI agents, et cetera, et cetera. This is something that has been at the forefront of why African Americans, why Hispanics, why a lot of minorities in this country don't trust police, don't like police. And it's because of the fact that when there is supposed to be accountability, the accountability is always passed off to somewhere else. It's the person that did this while he was on drugs, or he had a mental illness or something along those lines, and they pass the buck over and over and over. If there is no accountability in this case, that's going to be something. Just keep in mind, though, since this case started today, 80% of jurors that do cases have already made up their minds after the opening arguments have been said. So just keep that in mind. We don't know what they're thinking or if anybody's mind is going to be swayed by any of the evidence that comes along.
That's the grand jury case, or the actual trial started, though?
The trial's already started today.
Yeah.
Today was opening arguments.
So he got indicted. Okay. He got indicted with grand jury. I could see them having a guilty verdict, but charges would be lessened. I could see that on a lot of accounts. just by the knee on the neck. And I could see them going around that in so many different medical ways of why that knee may have needed to be restrained on the neck. I could see a lot of stuff because, like the footage, you know, on the camera when they did show that, there's a certain angle that they didn't show. So I could just see a lot of different things playing out with just that knee on the neck thing and why it was justified for them to do that. I don't know. I don't see, even if it's a guilty verdict, it'll be like lesser charges.
And also the argument that they made during the opening arguments was that they were going to say, well, it wasn't the knee on the neck that caused George Floyd's death. It was the fact that he had drugs in his system and he had a bad heart, and they will come up with every excuse to put that in alignment with what they're going to try.
Kind of like the other
case with
the so-called. I could totally see this on a lot of different ways, but even if it's a guilty verdict, it'll be a very lesser charges, less charges that he could probably even beat on appeal and be out within a year or two.
Okay, caller 404, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, bro. I don't know if you watched any of the opening arguments today, but one of the dispatchers actually tried to call the police on Buddy because she was watching the footage. And she said, man, I thought the camera was glitching or something. I didn't think that they were actually staying in that same position for that long. So, yeah, I mean, we all know it. We saw what we saw. So maybe we'll see something go down. And the other part about Minnesota is, remember, this is where the Somali brother was a cop, and he shot that woman, and they sent him, I think they gave him 12 years. And
yeah, he got 12 years.
Family,
I remember
he got a
that.
Huge settlement. So this is the same state, so the precedent is already there, too. So this is going to be crazy, man, if they wiggle out of this and try to find some way not to really go after it. And honestly, I'm not going to be the one out judging people for whatever they do, no matter what happens. So,
true. But to you guys' point, before this case happened, they already had a settlement of $20 million to the family of George Floyd just in case anything goes wrong or hits the fan. So they already foresee it not going towards their way for the family.
But,
so like,
you know what?
$20 million. Yeah, go ahead, K-Dog.
Pardon me for interrupting, but you know what? One of the problems here is that, you know, we all know how the system works. You know, how the system is always set up to protect and benefit the police, and, you know, it's not to protect black people. And this has gone on long enough. This is what this case is. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, they're presenting a case, but like Lady P said, there could be a repercussion, but however, he'll probably get a light sentence. That's the sad part about it. And the evidence is there.
So, Kato, should we be upset that they get a light sentence? Or should we be happy if he gets something out there?
Hell, listen, either way, you know, I will say bluntly, it's a misuse of justice because the evidence is there. And why is it that no one's looking at the fact that somebody died? The man, George Floyd, died that day.
Yeah, but like Lady T said, there's so many angles and there's so many loopholes they could work their way around it.
That's what I was saying.
His knee was on his back, but if he had drug problems, it could be something that could lead to the death.
But also, I think
you guys are forgetting
the top,
a major part of
and drugs. He's come out and talked about how drugs could never play that effect that we're talking about here. Like he has an extensive article on the New York Times. You can find it and read it there. But, you know, all of these things that they're throwing out there, like, this is a con. Like, we don't have to take it seriously. Like, if we sit and watch something happen, this is your significant other telling you how you going to believe me or your lying eyes. Like, you know what happened. Now, if you want to sit down and listen to somebody who cheated on you, dead in your face, tell you how that ain't what you saw, that's on you. But...
So we're forgetting a major part of United States law as far as you have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in court.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It has to be proven. And you have certain laws that underlie that where they can say, nope, that doesn't go under this law. He gets lesser charges because of that. So you have to prove, you could have seen something with your own eye. They'll tell you, nope, this didn't happen because of this and that. You didn't see that over there. Same thing the gentleman just said with your significant other. Let's say they caught you cheating. They got to prove it. How are you going to prove it? The only way you could really prove it is if the other person really come out, right?
And he got COVID, too.
We can't concern ourselves with legality when we're dealing with this.
And you know what? It's the sad reality.
That's the sad part. But don't
it's
forget
the sad
you're
reality
juror,
of it because we've seen this. We've seen this happen before with many.
This is racism.
And that's what I call it.
Not in their court of law, it's not. And then you have jurors. If you're a person on the jury, you go by certain rules. If any of you ever sat in for jury duty and had to do a trial case, there's certain laws that they'll have you read. It doesn't work under that law. Okay, you'll say, no, he's not guilty because of this, and that, whatever the case is, before you submit your not guilty verdict. There's certain things that's justified X, Y, and Z.
Like I said, the system is set up to protect and benefit the police. And it's not there to protect black people. And, you know, this is what it is. It's a set to indict and confine. You know, they're going to try to find something to make it look like George Floyd did it to himself. They're going to try to bring up, oh, he was high on drugs. He was this. He was that. He was resisting arrest. They'll do anything to protect this, to protect the police. You know, there's no fairness in all of this. There isn't. And, you know, racism is always present. It's always there.
This I just want to say something real quick, Hot Rod. Sorry to ask all of you guys on the panel, but don't forget, they're going to have to also have the person who shot the footage on there. I know she was hysterical after the footage went viral. Can she stand trial? That's another thing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can she stand trial
to
testify on that video? Huh?
She probably traumatized from that.
That's my point. That's another thing.
Like
can they use that trauma and say, well, she can't really backtrack on what she saw, what made her actually pull out her camera to start. Listen, if this can go real nasty, I don't see it.
I'm shocked they didn't even arrest. I'm shocked they didn't arrest her.
They don't need
to the point. If something like that happened, I doubt anyone could remember because you're so traumatized.
Nah, there's people that could remember. Well, they could play on the trauma.
True, but you could play it out, but you know
what? Like I was trying to tell you, they have a 911 operator on the stand. She's telling them that this was something she had never seen. And that's why she made the call in. Like, yo, something is wrong over here. Something wrong is going on. There was another officer who made a call in, too. So this ain't no simple thing of they can kind of clean this one up. I'm starting to wonder if they're just going to have to throw him to the wolves just because this case is so bad. Like, they're trying to make their merits on is the drug argument. And that's not going to hold up when they bring in experts about drug abuse, by overdoses and things like that.
Exactly.
It's going to be tough for them to pull it off, man.
When the verdict goes down, we're going to be the first ones to crack this, and we'll discuss that then.
Well, you know what? Before we move on, when the verdict do happen, this is going to be just like the O.J. Simpson. Everybody's eyes glued to the TV, both black and white people, to see what happened, unfortunately, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the scary part is,
I think the difference between the O.J. trial and this one is the fact that the facade that we could sing Kumbaya was still, the bloom on the rose was still there during 94-95. I think today's society, I think that we're so divided racially, I don't think that eye is there where you would see people together, quote-unquote, seeing almost the same thing and keeping it quiet. I think everybody's already moved to their neutral corners and are going to stay there, and they're going to see the case regardless of what the facts are. They're going to see it through the prism that they have for themselves.
Sean, can we say something too? This is not the O.J. dynamic where it's majority black and majority white on opposing sides. You're going to have a huge chunk of white people on the side of saying, yo, this was wrong, and you're going to have kind of that Trump coalition coming out with the, well, let me play devil's advocate. Well, what if it was a drug? What was it? You'll have that group on the other side of it.
Brother,
as we saw
they're
going to
come out with that blue, they're going to come out hypocritically and talk about that Blue Lives Matter stuff. They're going to be like this. But Blue Lives Matter, police officers, they're going to be screaming that police officers are being condemned.
Okay. Everybody on the panel tonight, because we gonna have this one. Everybody on the panel tonight, what is your verdict? One by one. I'll go last. You guys go ahead. Whoever wants to go first. What
I'll
do you think the verdict would be? Go ahead.
I say not guilty.
Okay.
Sean Black?
I'll say guilty, but of like some lesser charge. It's going to depend on what else comes out, though.
Okay.
K-Dog?
He'll be charged with second-degree murder, but then after, probably get like 5 years.
Okay, dog, just guilty or not guilty.
I know, right?
They'll just say guilty, but he'll get a lesser charge.
Okay.
K-Dog, thank you. All right. And the caller.
Guilty.
Yeah, I'm with them. I say guilty, but lesser charge.
Okay.
Just one last thing, Hot Rod. Three black men, one black woman, two multiracial, all on the jury. The rest are white.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the makeup of the jury
that
you have to think of in a city where only 17% of the people in that town are black.
Yeah. Okay, that concept sounds like everybody on the panel tonight. And I say
and
not
that's the
guilty.
Judge. And it comes from the judge. And it does come
I
from the judge.
Be not
you know
guilty. Yeah.
It's like,
okay,
so
the judge, by
the
way, is it a black judge or
a judge?
You know he removed jury.
K-Dog, hold on. Slow it down. This is not your time to talk. Hold on. Lady P.
I was asking, who's the judge on the, I didn't even check that out. Who's the judge?
Some white guy. Yeah, I don't know the judge.
Okay, whatever.
He removed some jurors too. You know he was removing some jurors too from the prosecution, and even the defense agreed on some of the jurors being removed.
Yeah, the reason why they were removed is because they felt that they shouldn't try them on the fact that the Floyd family got money through the settlement. That was the main sticking point that they wanted them off the case because of that.
A lot of interesting things.
Okay.
Wow, that's coming up already. Okay. All right.
Okay, let me go to my final topic somewhat, and we'll get this to Sean Black, because last week on Brother B's show, the menu with Big Red Lady T, it was very hot, and gone crazy. About the guy, Derek, whatever his name is.
Derek Jackson.
Yeah, thank you. I like Lady T's point overall when she said that this is basically a marketing thing, that the husband and the wife is probably in it because, you know, how the hell they're making so much money from this so far? So do not be surprised it's a scheme. But, Sean Black, what's your take about this guy? And also, if they say that they were separated when he quote-unquote cheated, quote, If a American couple is separated, and he goes see other, and they go see other people, is that still considered as cheating? Go ahead, Sean Black, educate me.
Considered cheating if that's what you guys discuss, because so many different couples have their own definition of cheating. I think the majority of us look at cheating as having sex with somebody or being with somebody that is not the person you're in a relationship with. Some people just texting them another person outside of the relationship is that. If you separate and you go ahead and say, well, we're not together now, we're taking a break, I don't want to see anybody else, you don't see anyone else, we'll come back together after a certain amount of time and see where we are from there. If you both agree to that and there's any deviance in that discussion, it's cheating. If you do go out there and say, look, we're not together, you're not with me, we're not with me, we're taking a break, you can go ahead and see other people, I'll see other people, and we'll see where it goes from there. And if you guys agree to it and there's no problem with that, then everything is fine in that dynamic. It always has to be about communication. If you're going to go ahead and be like what some of these people that are, I guess, in the space of social media advice columnists, where guys like him and Tommy Sotomayor and a bunch of others that literally go out and either dog women all the time or people that dog men all the time, if that's your space where that you're in that situation, you can't be upset when the advice that you give comes across as being highly hypocritical to the stuff that you're actually preaching.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with his advice, but his advice is similar to everybody else's advice, give or take, overall. Because we all give advices, relationship, marriage, parenting advice to other people. Even you, Sean Black, you're not a parent yourself, but you give me parenting advice from your opinion. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion or advice, right?
Yes, but when you give your opinion as fact, and then you tell people to follow your opinion as fact, and then you get busted doing the complete opposite, you look like a hypocrite. And that's part of the problem with a lot of these people that go out there with the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but nobody's perfect, and that's the thing, like I told you earlier, when these things happen, like when people watch Love & Hip Hop, and, you know, they go for love, you know, they love the way these people, you know, you know, on the marriage and relationship, doesn't find out they're cheating. It's like, what do you expect? That person's not perfect. So why should be upset with the person who told you, you know what, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Why are they going to do it themselves? It's just like a pastor or a priest. You know, they tell you,
right,
do not commit these sins, and they go commit this sin their own selves. Nobody's
true
perfect.
And that's
nobody's
something I want
perfect
to say, according to that,
go
and
ahead,
what
go
both you and Sean Black just said. People need to stop putting their emotions into this. These people do this as a business. They do it from their personal experiences, or maybe friends that they may know experiences. A lot of them are really from their personal experiences. If you go back now and look at what Derek Jackson was talking about, I think he's the sleazeball that he was talking about and warning women about guys like him, as he should. There's Mr. Nice Guys that are there to really protect their image. When all falls down, all of these women that came out, he probably told his wife, oh, they're crazy, they're this, they're that. Meanwhile, homegirls got the receipts on him. So they're not so crazy. He's there to protect his nice guy image. And to all the nice guys that are listening, guys, you are human. You're going to mess up. Give it a break with this, I don't want my friends to know that I'm a cheater. I've cheated on a few women. Listen, you're human. It happens. I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Nice Guys, come out, because you're no different than the other guys that did it. And as far as with separation periods, there's no rules to separation.
Yeah.
You're separated. That's why. It's a break. There's so many couples that have took a breathing space from each other, got back, and everything was beyond spectacular. Great to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's people during separation. It's separation. There's no rules to separation.
Yeah, but are they allowed to go see other people if they're separated?
Why not? You're separated.
If they
want to say, oh, I'm going to do it behind your back and you'll never find out while we're together, everything is beautiful, that has been done before too. So that's why I'm not understanding, like, why we put people on such a – it's our own imagination on a high pedestal standard. Like, this person will never do that to me. And it'll be always the person you never thought would do it to you.
And like I told Sean Black earlier today, text him, like someone like Dwayne Wade, who separated from Gabrielle a while back, they went their ways for a little bit, and he slept with someone and got her pregnant. And people criticized, like, yo, how can you do that? They separated. He screwed up. He didn't use protection, but now he have a child out of it. But they're back together now. And they're probably stronger than ever before.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Every couple that know that, know separation, what exactly what that means. So if you don't know what I'm separated means, I don't know. Then you're living in a fantasy land, you know? So.
But it's also, like I said, it also depends on the couple. Although certain extremes happen, not everybody does exactly that. There's some people that just say, look, I just need a break. You need a break, maybe, too. What are some of the words you say, to discover myself or some of those other things?
Want
to do is work on themselves. And there are those outliers that don't necessarily see that as an issue. But if you're communicating that to the other person, and there's that understanding that there are, even with the separation, a boundary that you're setting with a potential intent to get back together afterwards, that has to be explained.
I've never seen a man on the face of this earth do that, Sean. Show me him. I want to marry him.
You know, Sean is full of it. You know, Sean's completely full of it. But besides that, Sean, I disagree with you, because you know what? If you separate, you have to go find yourself. You may have to go find yourself with someone else that might make you happy. Maybe you're not happy with this person right now. Or maybe you don't know what you're missing. You know, you might go somewhere else. You know, go to plan B, but you realize you love plan A. But for you to realize that you like plan A, you need to see B, C, D, E. But trust me, I try to step away from you and Kato for 20 years now, and you got no one coming back to me.
Kind of like
you
that.
Know.
You never miss what you had until it's gone. Sorry, that's true. Laws of attraction. It's true.
It's true.
Kato, sorry, Sean Black, Kato, but like I said, really, if you know them, give them my number, okay, because I'm trying to get married again.
I understand.
So, Kato, anything left to add before we move on?
Man, listen, look, the guy, like they always say, man, there's a saying that, you know, even though it's kind of special, he said, Before you look in the eye, before you look in the dirt in someone else's eye, check out the dirt in your own eye first. That's all I gotta say about it, man. You know you got, you know you ain't perfect, man. Don't try to be Mr. Perfect, brother.
Okay. Cool. Last but not least, there's a new Karen in town, the Bagel Karen, as they call it in New York City, where this lady, a mother of four kids in a shop, a bakery, basically, of course, refused to wear a mask, and the person and the the cashier, who's black, a black, told her to wear a mask. And of course, she threw the can fit. But she called her a bitch-ass N-word, and that her father, the father of her kids, are black. So, ladies and gentlemen, if a woman who's dated or married to a black man, does she have the right to use the term bitch-ass N-word to call someone because she's dating or married to a black man? Sean Black?
Unbeknownst to what people say in their own relationships, in their own houses, if that's what, as they say, if you like it, I love it, if that speaks between the two of them, if that's what they do, hey. But if you venture outside of the home and you go out into the public eye and you flash the N-word around anybody, especially with the intent of the way that it was used, the way it was inflected, and how she said it so nonchalantly, so cavalierly. She knew what she was saying and how she was saying it. And what makes it worse is that the husband, I think a couple of days afterwards, said, I fear for my children now, because since the video of this incident came out on the news, I'm afraid that people are going to look at my children a different way and they're going to attack me because of what my wife said, et cetera, et cetera. If you are white and you go out in the public, first of all, without wearing a mask in a place, a private business that's telling everybody else to wear a mask, and that's your excuse to not wear one and then flash epithets at African-Americans or anybody else that you see fit, don't expect the wrath not to come to you and then play a victim role afterwards. Doesn't work that way.
Okay. Lady P?
No, I'm just like not understanding. They're in a, in, you know, business. Why not wear your mask? I'm not understanding it. That's mandatory, though.
Exactly.
That part is mandatory. So I'm not understanding. You outside, you're on the sidewalk, you want to pull your mask down, great. But you already should know this. I mean, come on. It's been a year now with Corona, a little over a year.
And there were so many excuses for people to when they go inside, and we've seen videos of this all the time. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I won't. It's hurting my – everything that they come up with when they get inside of a place of business. If you want to be in your car without your mask or you want to be at home without your mask, whatever is the case.
Yeah, that's
but if
fine.
We're
that's
dealing
different.
With businesses, if you're dealing with a private business and they tell you you have to wear a mask, you've got no choice in the matter.
Well, you know what bothered me more?
You know what's funny about this?
In front of her four kids. I'm sorry, hold on. She said it's in front of her four kids who are partially black. So, you know, with bullying going on and everything. But you know what? Your mother called you an N-word. Why not me? You know, give us that. You know, remember, people watch videos, and when these things go viral, everybody know about it. So you have four kids who's half black, who's mixed, black and white, and let's say other people see these kids. Like, oh, look, there's a four little N-words coming, walking down, you know, or your mother's racist. You know, people don't think about these things, you know. And I think
or even worse, what if those
like,
kids
you know,
start
never
to pick
do.
Up that language and use it themselves? If they weren't
using
it,
they think it's normal.
Then what?
They think it's normal when they use to use that kind of a language.
It's just mind-boggling overall. And last but not least, I got nothing else. I think we covered everything. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Sean Black, pick your poison. The Georgia voting system that happened, or Lil Nas X and Lil Sneakers?
Oh, speak on Lil Nas X. Oh, man.
Okay, really pissed me off.
Hot Rod, really, you really threw me off with that earlier this afternoon when you showed me that score.
No, go ahead. Yeah, that's a story we need to discuss.
So go ahead, Sean. But what pissed you off about Lil Nas X? Because, you know, I was vexed about it.
For those that don't know, I'll give you the Cliff Notes edition. Lil Nas X had a video. I forgot what it's called. But in the video, he is seen grinding and gyrating on somebody that's dressed up as the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on top of that, he is now licensed a pair of sneakers that he is selling. He's only doing 666 pairs.
That's a key part.
And
Nike,
in
Sean
the
West.
Sneaker, there is
it's
one.
It's not Nike. No, this is not Nike.
It's not?
Nike.
Yeah.
Oh, so they confirmed that?
Nike
okay.
No,
they were saying
yeah.
Nike when it came out. Good. Okay, okay.
Yeah. It is going to have one drop of human blood in each sneaker that is sold.
Wow.
I tell you, marketing is a trip. We're talking about it, so it must be working.
So I'm just going to say a quick part on that.
But
the narrative that bothers me is when Lil Nas X came out with Old Country Road, we defended him. Everybody defended him when, everybody said he shouldn't be doing country music, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they had a reason for feeling a certain way towards him. Now he finally came out with his sexuality. A lot of kids gravitated to the Old Town Road song and so forth. That was his fan base.
Yeah.
In schools, in certain states, they want the transgenders to come to the school and discuss X, Y, and Z about why they're transgender and so forth. Certain schools have been doing that already. It's a lot that kids are learning too quick about sexuality. And it's a lot. We spoke on this even with the Dwayne Wade situation, and it's nothing towards the LGBTQ community because, I'm sorry, everybody on this panel, we grew up knowing what drags were, who's gay, this, that, the next. But the agenda wasn't pushed hard like that. You were who you were, and we had friends that are gay and so forth. We didn't care. You are human.
Yeah.
You are who you are. But to keep on pushing the narrative, and you're starting off so young, is disturbing to me. We learned a little bit at a time. This has nothing to do with the internet, because whoever marketed that shoe should not have even put that out, that whole concept. He's looked at as an artist. He should know his role. You understand what I mean? As far as a role model, they should have took that in consideration. But even, like I said, with the schools that want transgender to come in, why do they need to come in and tell kids about changing their sexuality? Stop pushing the narrative so hard. Let kids find out who they are, and they will not find out until a certain age. Yes, some may know ahead of time, but stop pushing it. Stop doing that. I don't like that at all.
I agree with you.
We have 2 minutes left. We will talk about this more. I have a feeling because, once again, this one of those topics, it's irked me, and I talked to Sean about this as a parent overall, but to the Lord not saying, it pisses me off. It's like, wait a minute, the devil thing I don't care about, you know, whatever, if you believe in that devil or not. But human blood?
That's
sick. You know?
Yeah.
You grind it on
that's
the devil?
That's sick, man.
In a music video? I'm like, and this is what my son will go watch on the internet or on TV? You know, and as a
what
parent,
happened to good? What
him,
happened to good old television that we grew up with? That's what I'm saying.
Those
things
are over.
Foreign.
But
it's gone out the damn window.
Well, it is what it is. It's just that as a parent, as a guardian, as an uncle or a godfather, it's our job to teach the children what we believe was right is wrong. And in the end, they will learn on their own what's right or wrong. All we can do is guide them to a certain degree. That's what I firmly believe. But
a drop of human blood.
Yeah, but you know what? I know the Catholics, the Christians, the Jews, the ones that believe in saying,
they
probably they
pissed off about
that.
It.
You know, they're not pissed off about the
But what's the blood thing. Representing? What is the blood representing, and whose blood? Did anybody test that blood for any HIV or anything? What is that blood about? I don't play with blood. Like, I don't understand that.
It probably has
a lot more to do with the video. I think that the theme of the Satan, and there's only 666 pairs of these sneakers being sold.
Yeah, but why he needs to put real blood in the sneaker and this and
that?
Like, blood is not something to play with.
You know why, Lady T? Because of the exact reason that we're doing right now. We're talking about it.
To talk about?
That's why.
It's sad.
It's all marketing, and it works.
Yes, but Sean Black, there's a difference between talking about it and our dumbass to go out and buy it.
Oh, there are going to be people that are going to do it. Even people that aren't fans of his that will buy it for the collectability of the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, tune in tomorrow night, guys, to Brother B, Big Red, and the rest of the gang through the menu right here on Blog Talk Radio, 30 p.m. And Sean Black, Lady T, K-Dog, and other caller guys, thank you so much. Happy Easter, all that other stuff you celebrate.
Oh, yeah,
the
Easter.
Nice
Easter, yeah,
shout out to the kids, man.
So let me think to you guys. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come.
You
oh
need
my
to be
goodness.
Back through that phone. You going to be the Easter Bunny this year, Hot Rod?
That's what we're wondering.
Happy Easter,
right,
everybody.
Oh, my goodness, Hot Rod. The pleasure is all yours.
Oh, my goodness.